We're continuing on in a series called Imposter Syndrome. Imposter Syndrome, because you may have been following Jesus and then something happens in your life and you start to feel like maybe I'm a fake, maybe I'm a fraud, maybe this isn't real, and we wrestle with that. Thank you, David. And so we're going to be jumping into continuing this series. I'm so excited. If you're maybe your first time here, welcome to Vertical Church. We're glad to have you. We're going to be reading from Acts a good bit to get started. And so if you want to turn to Acts chapter 7 in your Bible or the Bible app, you can. If you don't have either, that's okay. We're going to put the verses up on the screen because we believe the Word of God applies deeply to our life and can change who we are. And so we love getting into the Scriptures. Acts chapter 7, if you're looking for that, if you're newer to the Bible, that's okay. If you find like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're in the last fourth of the Bible, you're getting real close. It's just right after those, so you're looking for Acts chapter 7. We're going to be starting in verse 54. It says, "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, yelling at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him. And they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord, receive my spirit." And then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is a moment where we get introduced to a major character of the New Testament, and you would probably think as you read this, it'd be someone like Stephen. Stephen, who even as they're throwing stones to kill him, can utter a prayer of, "Lord, please don't hold this against him." And he seems to be a mature believer. He seems to be somebody who is, I mean, that's somebody I want to hang out with. They had the kind of faith that even if you're killing them, they're like, "I pray that the Lord forgives them." I mean, you're talking about a man of love and grace and strength in his walk with Jesus. I'd want to hang out with him. But the main character that we're getting introduced to is actually a guy named Saul. Saul is a main character of the New Testament. You may know him by the name of Paul. But this is the moment we get introduced to him. He's actually here watching as a Christian gets killed for his faith in Jesus and approving of it. If you look in Acts chapter 8, the next chapter, starting in verse 1, it says, "On that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. And godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison." So we see that Saul is actually proactively going after and arresting Christians. He's attacking Christians. He doesn't care if he's dragging a husband out of a house, a mother out of a house, a husband out of a house, a wife out of a house. He does not care what destruction he may be doing in somebody's lives. He is going after Christians, and he's glad to do it. He's proud to do it. He thinks what he's doing is right. See, his picked identity is someone who attacks and persecutes Christians. That's his identity. I want to ask, what is your identity? What is your identity? Maybe you need help defining that. Identity is something about you, of who you are at your core, and it affects the way you think. It affects your actions. It affects how you view yourself. That's your identity. It affects how you view yourself, how you think, and how you act. That is your identity. And maybe your identity as you're here today is you're a father or a wife or a teacher or a pastor or you're wealthy or you feel like you don't have enough or you drive your favorite car. Our identity can be anything. Your identity may be a Trump supporter or a transgender person or you may be bisexual. You may have all these different identities or maybe your identity is a Georgia Bulldogs fan. And it didn't even keep you out of church today. But can I tell you, if you are a Georgia Bulldog, can I give you good news? I like good news. Do y'all like good news? I like good news. I'll give you some good news if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan. I want to tell you, if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, whether you're online here in the building, heart to heart, things could be worse for you. You could be a Florida Gator fan. And as a Florida Gator fan, I want to tell you and testify, things could be worse. than losing a close game to Alabama. You could be what's called irrelevant, and that's where we're at right now as a program. So things could be worse. Take heart. I'm glad you're here. But as human beings, we inherently go about trying to pick an identity because we were created for an identity. I don't know where you believe. You may be a Christian. You may be seeking out truth. You may be looking for certain things. You may just be here because you heard we had coffee and donuts and it was free, and you're like, I like some of that. I don't know why you're here today, but I want to tell you my belief is I believe there's a creator of the universe. I believe it was all designed. I don't shy away from science at all. I know sometimes in Christian circles we kind of push against science and things, but I don't want to push away from science at all because I think science points to a creator. And there's all these clues throughout creation that points to we were designed, we were created. We live in a created world. I think there's all these clues around us if we won't ignore that. And maybe you want to debate who is the creator. I understand. I believe in the creator of the Bible, that the Bible tells us about the creator of the universe. I believe in that. And see, Paul, who's called Saul in these moments, is an interesting guy because he's living his life celebrated. He surrounded himself with people that celebrate the choices he's making. He's got people who are celebrating that he's persecuting Christians. He's got people who say the identity you have picked, Saul, is a good one. But there's also somebody we should let speak into our identity, and Saul meets him in Acts chapter 9. If you want to read these verses with me. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, which is what they were referring to as Christians. Christians was called the way early on. Belonging to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They had heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. And Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. If you know much about the Bible, and if you don't, that's okay. Jesus, when he was here on this earth, he had picked disciples, people he poured into, people he taught, and 11 of them were faithful. There was one who betrayed him, but 11 were faithful. And now in this moment, we get introduced to this character named Saul, and if you read the rest of the New Testament, you're going to discover that there's one guy God used to write a lot of the letters in the New Testament, and his name is Paul. It's this guy. This guy who was on his way to Damascus to arrest more Christians, someone who was there as they stoned Stephen and approved, he was attacking and persecuting Christians. That guy becomes the one God uses to write most of the New Testament letters, not the disciples. Can we just let that sink in for a moment, that one of the people that God picks to be a team captain is one who is out persecuting and killing Christians? That's wild. That's wild because so many of us, right, we look at the things in our past, the things that we've done, and we say, that disqualifies me from having God do anything in my life. Yet God is picking someone like Saul, who is actively killing Christians, and says, I'll take that guy, and I'll change his life and turn him into a team captain. Because if you read most of the New Testament, we don't hear a lot of the disciples anymore after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We don't hear from the disciples a ton anymore. Some of them we don't hear a lot of in general of their lives. And here's the thing, whether you serve the Lord and it's seen by human beings doesn't make it any less important. The disciples go on to do amazing things for the Lord. They are key players in the church getting started, but we don't see or hear from them a lot. But it doesn't mean their work was any less. It doesn't mean that they're lesser than Paul or anything like that, but Paul's work for the Lord gets put on display for the glory of God. And sometimes we feel like if it's what we do for God isn't seen, then it doesn't count. right? If we're honest as humans, sometimes that can be our temptation. If people don't see what God's doing, then it doesn't feel real. But that's not the case at all, because the disciples show us that. Those 11 disciples I talk about, 10 of them end up being killed for the faith. At the very end, they're all asked, all you have to do is say Jesus was a fake or fraud, and all 11 of them say, well, if that's my option, you'll have to kill me, because I will not recant. There's only one guy who survives, and it's John, and they tried to kill him. They threw him in a pot of boiling oil. And so in this moment, the disciples maybe don't have all this work that is, quote, seen. Maybe it's Saul, but sometimes God picks the unlikely people to show his character. Because if God can take someone like Saul, change his life to go out and serve the Lord, then who can't God change? Right? And if you don't understand this culture, everybody knew who Saul was. He was a well-renowned persecutor of Christians, because when he gets to Damascus, God goes and speaks to this guy, Ananias, if you want to go back and read this story, speaks to Ananias and he says, go pray for Saul. And Ananias goes, you're crazy. You're crazy, because he knows who Saul is. Saul's the guy who is literally arresting, persecuting, potentially killing Christians. And Ananias says, no way. I'm not going to pray for that guy. And the Lord says, go. And so Ananias shows up, finds Saul blind, can't see. Ananias lays hands on him, prays for him, and scales fall off the eyes of Saul. And now he begins to see. Do you think that moment stuck with Saul the rest of his life? That he was blind and he didn't see again until a Christian who he would have arrested and potentially killed had enough love in his heart for the Lord to pray for him. I wonder if that stuck with Paul, who used to be called Saul. That a Christian, even under the threat of potential persecution and death, was still willing to come pray for him. See, sometimes the things the Lord asks us to do make no sense. Can feel like they really stretch us. But what's very powerful about this moment is on the way to Damascus, Saul realizes there's a difference between a picked identity and a given identity. Don't miss that. There's a difference between a picked identity and a given identity. And so many of us as humans go through our life trying to pick these things that become our identity, whether it's like we've read. Maybe it's a Georgia football fan. Maybe it's being a teacher. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's being single. It's all these different titles or labels that we'll try to pick as that's who I am. It defines me as a person. It's my identity. And we all as humans are seeking and trying to pick an identity. But Saul, in this moment on this road to Damascus, learns there's a difference between picking an identity and being given one by the creator of the universe. And in this moment, even though he's persecuting Christians, God moves in his life and says, I have a given identity for you. Paul, I created you with a plan. I firmly believe that every human being was created by the God of the universe with a plan. It doesn't mean we're operating in it, but we have a given identity that exists from the Creator. But as human beings, we may operate out of a picked identity. Can I tell you, you may have experienced this. People with a picked identity will sometimes try to pick one for you. Did you hear that? Sometimes people with a picked identity will try to pick one for you. Because what can attach to our identity sometimes is grief, our trauma, or what people say about us. Picked identities want to pick another identity. But a given identity can stay with us the rest of our life from the Creator. Saul was never the same after this moment. It changed him as a person. Are you operating this morning, whether you're online or here, out of a picked identity or a given identity from the Creator of the universe? Some of the signs that you may be operating out of a picked identity is a lack of peace in your life. Because if you were created with a purpose, it doesn't matter what identity you pick if it's not the one that was created for you. It will always lead you to a lack of peace. It's like a boat one day saying, I want to be a plane. You can try, but it's not what you were created for. Your car may decide, I want to be a boat. Well, it's eventually going to sink at some point. It's not what it was created for. You can try. And all of us as humans can spend our entire life trying to pick things that are our identity. But if it's not us stepping into our God-given identity, it will lead to a lack of peace because it's not why we were created. You may discover things happening in your life like this selfishness is because you're trying to seek your own picked identity. It's this cycle that can never be completed. It may be anger really starts to birth because I'm going to tell you, anger is like this protector emotion of insecurity. Anger is a protector emotion of insecurity. I see it a ton when I do counseling. It's something that a lot of us, especially as males, will struggle with is because we have to protect deep down something we're very insecure about. And the way we do that, the way we don't let anybody close to that insecurity is this wall of anger that we don't let people through. And when we have a picked identity, you will always end up being insecure because you're operating out of a picked identity rather than given identity. And Saul has this moment that forever changes his life. I want you to read Philippians chapter 3 with me. If you're in Acts chapter 9, just keep going a couple chapters over. You're going to get to Philippians. It's a very short book of the Bible. There's only 4 chapters. If you get to Revelation, you went too far. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." This is the same guy that we were just reading about that was persecuting Christians. It's the same person, but he sounds a lot different now, doesn't he? It's because he had this moment where he went from a picked identity to a given identity. And he says, everything I have, I consider garbage compared to knowing Christ. Everything. And be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law or by works, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Look at verses 13 and 14. Don't miss this. "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." After we read Acts 7 and Acts 8, do you think maybe that when Paul says about forgetting some things that are behind, do you think Paul ever forgot the day that he watched Stephen be killed? I don't think he did. Do you think Paul ever forgot the days where he'd walk up to somebody's house, grab the husband and drag him out of the house and his family would never see him again? Do you think Paul ever forgot the moment where he'd walk in the house and grab the wife as the kids are screaming for their mom and drug them out to arrest the mom? Do you think he ever forgot that moment? I don't think he did. And I think when he writes Philippians chapter 3 and he says, if I'm ever going to accomplish what God called me to, when we read in Acts chapter 9, that moment on the road to Damascus where God gave me a given identity rather than the one I picked, in order for me to really accomplish my given identity, I'm going to have to forget some things of my past. Because I think it's really hard for us as human beings to be praying about our present while still living in our past. And we can't ever fully operate in a given identity if we're still holding on to our old picked identity. And if you've been coming here long enough, I've tried to be open. I've got a past. There's things I don't forget. There's so many mistakes and regrets I have of my life. But even all the sins in my life didn't stop a moment like Saul had, where the love of Jesus Christ moved in my life and said, there's a different way. There's a given identity compared to the one you have picked for yourself, Philip. And after reading Scripture and my encounter with Jesus Christ, I'm here to proclaim to you that there's a given identity for your life, and it's not the one you've picked. The Creator of the universe loves you, and through Christ Jesus, there is forgiveness of your past, and it doesn't have to be your identity anymore. Your identity can be what Jesus did on the cross when he paid the price for your sin and my sin. Forgiveness, grace, new life in Jesus. And that stays your identity, not because of your own works or the law, but because of faith. And I'm telling you, that's good news. Because all those things that I described to you about selfishness and anger and a lack of peace, the reason I can talk about those things is because that's exactly what I experienced in my life with my own picked identity. I have firsthand experience with that. But Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I am thoroughly convinced after reading Scripture that your life has purpose. Thoroughly convinced that your life has purpose. Your life was created with a given identity through the Creator of the universe. And it's to be found in Christ Jesus. But many of us, if we're not careful, will live our life with picked identities rather than given identities from the Lord. As I close out, I want to read one last section of Scripture, and it's found in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you're in Philippians, just go backwards just a little bit, and you'll get to 1 Corinthians. If you ever want to know some of the verses that really affect me as a follower of Jesus, these are some of these verses that weigh heavy on my heart and my mind. This again is Paul, or Saul, as we read earlier in Acts. This is him writing again. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames." Do you understand that at the end of our life, you can call yourself a Christian, you can say that's your picked identity, but at the end of our lives, the Lord is going to test everything that we've built. And I want to ask, if you've lived your entire life in a picked identity, do you expect what you've built to last when you lived in a picked identity rather than your given identity? Something that weighs heavy on my heart and my mind is, it really doesn't matter if I'm called a pastor. It really doesn't matter what I inquire in this world. It doesn't really matter even what people think about me. All that's going to matter is when the moment comes for the Lord to test what I built in my life with fire is, did it last? Did it last? That's what matters. Because I could spend my entire life where people really thought very highly of me, and then it's tested by fire and there's nothing left. What did that count for? Or did I build something for the Lord? And the only way that we can build something for the Lord is to operate out of our God-given identity through Christ. That's the only way to build anything that would survive the test of the Lord. Everything else from our picked identity won't survive that test. And I don't care if you've gone to church for 40 years or 4 days or anything like that, any of us are susceptible to operating out of a picked identity. It's our flaw as humans. And you may be here today and you start to realize there's some things that have attached to your identity. They're affecting how you see yourself. They're affecting your actions. They're affecting your thoughts. And you realize it's not from Jesus. most amazing thing are the grace and love of Jesus. He can move in your life today and start to change your heart and your mind and the way that you think to come in line with His ways. And so, are you living in your past or praying about your present? Are you living in your past or praying about your present? Because we have to sometimes get to the point where we forget the things of our past and say, that's who I used to be in a picked identity. But I want to operate out of my given identity in Christ Jesus today. I want to build something for the Lord that lasts when it's tested. And that's available to each and every last one of us, if we'll surrender our life in faith to Jesus. It's available. So, student, when you walk on your campus, you can build something for the Lord that lasts. In your workplace, you can build something for the Lord that lasts. In your family, you can build something for the Lord that lasts. But it's when we come to peace with our God-given identity rather than something we've picked for ourselves. And as we close out, I just want to give time for us to pray and ask, because I can't pick that for you. I can't make that choice for you. There's no such thing as forced Christianity. It's not real. Only someone who's truly in faith has given their life to Jesus. It's the only way to become a Christian. I can't make that choice for you. Nobody at the staff can make that choice for you. A family member can't make that choice for you. It's something you decide before the Lord. And so I just wanted to give us time one-on-one to speak to the Lord. Let Him search our hearts and our minds and maybe point out anything that's operating in our identity that's not given of the Lord, because we can't have a given identity that doesn't align with Scripture. If you're wrestling with an identity and saying, is this really of the Lord? The best thing you can possibly do is check Scripture. God will not give you an identity that is contrary to the Word of God. As the biggest way, I know I sound probably so old-fashioned or conservative, whatever you want to label me as, when I keep hammering home the power of the Word of God and why it's so important we read it. But guys, I'm telling you, it is the clearest way to hear from the Lord many times. And so I encourage you, stay consistently in the Word of God. But let's close out in prayer. Lord, I just ask that out of your love and your grace, your kindness, that you'll speak into our hearts and our minds today. As humans, every last one of us can wrestle with picking an identity. Every last one of us, whether it's something that's brought grief or trauma or people have said about us or something we're just interested in or something we just want for us, all of us can wrestle with a picked identity. But the problem is it will always result in flaws because it's not a given identity from you, the Creator, found in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, I pray if anyone's wrestling with anger or a lack of peace or selfishness or pride or whatever it is, if we're wrestling at all with anything that's not of you, Lord, love us enough to show us. And may we love you enough to respond and lay anything down that's not of you and say, I don't want anything affecting the way I see myself or the way I think or the way I act. I don't want anything affecting that outside of Christ Jesus. So, Lord, please come and just move. Guide us, speak to us, lead us. We need you. We can't do this on our own. We're not going to pretend to. May you come reveal that you are the living God who loves us enough to have a given identity for each of us. And may we operate in that. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. And amen. As we close out, you can feel free to stand up as we worship. You can stay seated in prayer. You can come forward to the altar and pray. We'll have prayer team leaders available on the side. I'll be off on the side if you want me to pray with you. But let's just give this time to the Lord and ask Him to work in our life and help us to operate out of a given identity.